You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
Now it's time to drop around to Cozzy's Corner.
Here I am, dropping around. Good morning, Mr. Roman. Coz?
And good morning, Terry, and to all our listeners. I hope everybody has a fantastic day.
What have you got for us today, Roman?
Well, tonight I'm going to talk about a great singer, a great actress, and a lovely animal liberation type of person, just an all-around nice person, and her name, Doris Day. She was born in 1922 as Doris Kappelhoff of German heritage. Her father was a music teacher, choir master, so we can see where the music part came from. In the mid-1930s, when she was about 13 or 14, she formed a dance duo. But unfortunately had a car accident and damaged her right leg quite badly and couldn't dance again. So during her convalescing years, she listened to the radio, in particular to Ella Fitzgerald, and sort of sang along with the songs and suddenly realised, hey, I like singing, and applied for a radio show with over 200 applicants. And guess what? She won, and the career started, tinkered around for a few years, and eventually she progressed with band leaders like Bob Crosby, who's Bing Crosby's younger brother, and Les Brown, who were quite famous in that era of the 1940s. Come 1945, she had her first hit called Sentimental Journey. It's a sort of an anthem for the returning soldiers from the World War II at the time, because it was the lyrics were very, very touching for those sort of guys. A number of hits followed, huge raps, and she got a gig on the Bob Hope's weekly radio program, which was huge back in those days, of course. She had a movie career started in 1948 with a film called Romance on the High Seas. More hits followed, of course. And in 1950, the US servicemen in Korea voted her the number one artist that they liked the most. And it just kept going. What about the movies? Well, it just keeps going. Early 1950s, On Moonlight Bay, By the Light of the Silvery Moon. In 1953, she did Calamity Jane, which she said was her favourite film. And out of that came a song called Secret Love, which won the Academy Award for the Best Original Song for that particular year, a film with Howard Keel in it. She had a number of albums from musicals around that time, three number one albums around that time. So in 1955, she starred with Frank Sinatra in a film called Young at Heart. However, it was in 1956 where she did a really switch in her roles. Instead of sort of being sort of the lovey-dovey type role, she became a dramatic actress in the film Love Me or Leave Me with Jimmy Cagney. Now, this film was interesting in that it was about a woman called Ruth Etting, who was a well-known 1920s, 1930s singer who was involved in a murder when her ex-husband wasn't too happy with her new boyfriend, and it'll be another story. She was best known for a song called Shine on Harvest Moon back in those days. 1956, The Man Who Knew Too Much with James Stewart, where that song Que Sera Sera came from, so there was another Academy Award for Best Original Song. For that particular song, 1958, she did a little bit of sort of comedy, I guess, for Teacher's Pet with Clark Gable. She was the flavour of the decade because she was the number one female artist for most of those years between 1949 and 1959 at least. And as a little bit of trivia, she was only the second woman ever to be number one four times at the box office. And the person that beat her was a very young Shirley Temple way back in the 1930s when she had songs like Good Ship Lollipop. You remember that one at all, Terry?
Absolutely. Have you ever covered Shirley Temple? Because that would be a great subject.
Well, it's on the list now, Terry.
Excellent.
Guaranteed, because you couldn't miss her eventually, could you? You've come across. She started those romantic comedies with Rock Hudson in the late 50s, as some people remember him from Macmillan and the Wife. And Tony Randall and The Odd Couple in a film called Pillow Talk. Now, amazingly, this film was the only one that she was actually nominated for an Oscar for serious acting, where you would have thought it'd come for Love Me or Leave Me. People are terribly surprised that she wasn't nominated for that particular film. But anyway, it ended up becoming Pillow Talk, which surprises me, I'll tell you. 1963, Move Over, Darling with James Garner. Now, the theme song was written by her son, Terry, who also ended up being a producer for groups like The Byrds and The Beach Boys. And that song, Move Over, Darling, actually ended up number 8 in the UK. So I've never heard the song, so I'll have to try and hunt it up to have a bit of a listen. By mid-1966, well, her career started to wane a little bit, and, you know, and she sort of knocked back various roles, and it's reputed that she knocked back the role of Mrs. Robertson in The Graduate opposite Dustin Hoffman. So that was a big one to let go, but she believed the storyline was a little bit too racy for her.
I think it was Anne Bancroft.
Yes, Anne Bancroft. Very good. Yes, so, well, that was Doris. She just didn't want to play that type of role. So she made her last film in 1968. Now, around about then, she got the biggest shock of her life because her husband, Marty Melcher, died, and she suddenly found out that he and her lawyer had been misappropriating stacks of her money, and she was totally bankrupt. It had been rumoured around Hollywood that Marty Melcher used to be quite physical and mentally abusive to her, but she never admitted to it. But going on the basis of this, I think there must have been some truth behind that. So she basically had to restart her life. And she started to do shows like the Doris Day Show and the Doris Day TV special. And one of those specials, a very young John Denver appeared in that. But she fought her way back and sort of came good towards the finish. In 1978, she formed the Doris Day Animal League Foundation. She was very much into saving pets and strays and helping animals and all that. As I said earlier, a nice person. She had married 4 times and basically wasn't really all that lucky in love in some respects. Her first husband was schizophrenic and he unfortunately suicided. Her second husband and her fourth husbands were nice guys, but the marriage just didn't last. And, of course, Marty Melcher cheating her of her money was, really just a shocking thing. Unfortunately, May 13, 2019, only a couple of years ago, she died at the age of 97 from pneumonia complications, and she did not want anything else but cremation as her last wish, and that was obviously adhered to, and the world lost one of the great singers and actresses of the time.
Her list of leading men, just incredible. Everyone who was anyone male at the time basically starred with her, didn't they?
My word, they did. When you look at Howard Keel, was huge back then when, you know, in Calamity Jane, it was at Rock Hudson and Jimmy Cagney. Tony Randall, James Garner, they're all sort of big stars.
Absolutely.
So, look, she was just really, really adored there for probably the best part of 15 years from the early 1950s to the mid-60s, and for good reasons too.
Yeah, I think she was my mum's idol, actually.
Oh, was she?
Every young woman of the time wanted to be Doris Day.
Yes, and for good reason, because she could sing a song. And you've got a song from my favourite film as well, which is Doris Day's film. My children and I have probably watched this film years ago about 20 times, so I know every single word in it. But I love this particular song myself.
What film is it from, of the same name?
No, it's called The Black Hills of Dakota.
Yep.
And it's from Calamity Jane.
Okay, it's from Calamity Jane.
Yes, great film. I loved it.
Yeah, look, I don't actually know if I've seen it, to be honest.
No, it's just one of those really pleasant films, and it's got a couple of nice songs in it. The Deadwood Stage, Black Hills of Dakota, Secret Love. You know, it's just one of those. Look, you can watch it and you go, I enjoyed that.
I'll check it out on your recommendation, Roman.
Thank you.
Let's play.
I'll catch you guys next Monday.
You will. Let's play Doris Day now, The Black Hills of Dakota.
See you all.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.